Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The one and only Ryan Hogue, how are you?
I'm excellent, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Now, let's the wide receiver position. Explain to those of us that watch from afar what it means to have or not have Adam Thielen available to them right now.
Well, yeah, that's huge. Anytime Laquon Treadwell is leading your team in receiving yards, mm-hmm. it's probably a recipe for an L on the board. You know, Thielen does such – he's a security blanket. I mean, Kirk Cousins called him the best player on the team and one of the best players in the league, and he certainly is a top five wide receiver in the NFL. And when you take that away, I mean, look at what it's done to the Patriots and Rob Gronkowski leaving, or, you know, when they had Antonio Brown and when they lost him. I mean, it allows the defensive backs to essentially say, I'm going to cover you and I'm going to let our front seven, which is probably going to out-athlete your front seven, and that's going to be a recipe for disaster. And, you know, and we played right into their hands too. You know, we ran the ball 14 times.
Sure. And sometimes you can get away with it, right? I mean, some weeks you don't need them as much as other weeks. And last night you did.
Right. I mean, I our offense is significantly worse, obviously, without him. That's an obvious statement, but you notice that, I mean, Diggs is what, the number six leading receiver on the team yesterday in yards. And it's because they can roll coverage to his side and just say, you know what? We want a rookie receiver to beat Dustin Johnson. We want Treadwell, who, you know, barely was in the league at the start of the season, to beat us. And those guys have to be able to beat one-on-one coverage, and they're not doing it consistently. And that's why you see Rudolph having a good game, because he's somebody that Cousins can trust. And, you know, the screen game is something that works, and it's one of the only things that's working for us really well when Diggs is shut down, because you become essentially one side of the field.
Now, that being said, when they get him back, and you hope it will be sooner than later, do they have more weapons than they ever envisioned, from the standpoint that Dalvin Cook's learned to catch the ball out of the backfield, BZ Johnson's played enough that he's got confidence? Do you become even better when you get him?
Well, I mean, that's the cliche idealistic thought process. I think that matters more in college, right, when guys are getting an opportunity to play for the first time. At the pro level, everybody's great. And then there's a few players that are really, really, really great.
Yep.
The problem I see with Adam coming back, and I battled hamstring injuries, especially my first 2 years in the league. He tried to come back in Kansas City. You know, it lasted, four plays, and it didn't feel right. He is going to be apprehensive the rest of the season on it. And I don't know how bad he hurt it, but when I first hurt mine, it was in the National Track Championships, my senior year of college. I heard it then I heard it in rookie mini camp, then I heard it in training camp, and it just always kept coming up, and I never felt like I could explode for about, you know, 6-7 months after that. Mm. It took that long before I had the confidence where I could really I could play at a level where I would belong. But, you know, Adam Thielen is great because of his separation. He's not the fastest player in the world. He needs to be able to explode out of his brakes. He's not going to be able to do that until next year.
And your point being that when you have what happens is you feel a little twinge back there, and you don't know if it's about to snap or not. But that's what you better back off a little bit here, because you just don't know what step could be the one.
You're so worried, yeah, and especially for Adam, who's really never had, you know, injuries and missed games. You know, it's the first time you're dealing with this soft tissue stuff, and you feel, you know. To your point, you feel that twinge in the back. You don't know if that's just something that's working through, you know, or if it's actually, you know, creeping up again. And the last thing you want to do is hurt yourself and be out. So you're going to go at 85% instead of 95%. And now you've gone, and now you're at Laquon Treadwell's level of separation. And now they don't need to roll coverage to your side, because you don't have that explosive quickness or that ability to get open in those one-on-one situations.
Xavier Rhodes has had a nice career, and he's having a tough season this year. When another team sees that, what happens? Lick your chops. You say, we're going to go at him, not just because maybe we think we can beat him, but we think we can frustrate him, and we think we can really fluster him and get him out of his game.
Well, yeah, and, you know, again, that's one of the biggest differences between college and pros. In college, there's always a guy that you can just identify, and if regardless if it's basketball or if it's football, there's always a guy that you say, you know what, this guy doesn't belong on the field, or this guy is significantly worse, and we are going to, you know, use and abuse this guy until he is essentially out of the game or until we've won the game, right? And the pros are really the amount of players that there are so few, because there's 50 guys on the street that are, you know, as you know, could be starters in the NFL.
Really good players, yeah.
Opportunity. So for Xavier Rhodes, what I see is, you know, his swagger's gone.
Yep.
You know, he's a guy, remember when he frustrated Odell Beckham, and Beckham's the one that got so frustrated because on that, I don't
know. That's a good point, yeah.
Or whatever, and he just shut him down, and he was, you know, running his mouth. And they say that DBs have the shortest memories because they're always going to get beat here and there, but they always come back. See, I think Rhodes is at the point where, you know, he's lost his confidence. And when you lose your confidence as a defensive back, you know, the physical tools are always going to be there, but that mental game where, you know, they say one false step is 3 yards in the NFL, and he's not reacting like he used to. He used to be proactive. Now he's being more reactive, and he's not trusting his instincts. And that's, you know, that's where that swagger comes in. So yeah, it's X marks the spot. We're going to find that player, kind of like what we did when we played the Eagles a few weeks ago. Number 28, I can't remember that guy's name, but we threw at him every single play. We scored, I think, 3 long touchdowns on him, and the guy hasn't started since, but it was because they had 2 guys out in their defensive backfield, and the guy lost his confidence. And so that's where Rhodes is at, and it's sad to see, because he used to be an elite corner, and now, you know, he shouldn't be starting.
So if you're a receiver and you see something like that, you do what? Are you talking to him? Are you trying to get physical with him? What are you trying to do?
Oh, I'm letting him know. Any catch, or even any catch I don't have, if I'm open, I'm letting him know, oh, next one's coming, you know?
Yep.
And just trying to stoke that fire, because, you know, I don't think Xavier Rhodes plays that well when he's angry. I mean, he got really angry yesterday, obviously, after giving that 60-yard touchdown up. And he was looking for excuses, and when in reality, he needed to look at himself and be like, actually, that was probably my fault.
I can't imagine that, they, you know, you know more about the NFL than I do, for sure. But is there any line? I can't imagine that, they, you know, you know more about the NFL than I do, for sure. But is there any line of reasoning where he'd have lined up and said, okay, what I heard, that we're in cover, whatever, meaning I'm gonna bump him here I'll stay with him for the first 10 yards and give him up to the safety, and the safety didn't get the same call, and so Harrison Smith lined up in the line of scrimmage. Is that plausible?
Well, Harrison Smith's an all pro safety,
yeah.
And I feel like if I'm gonna believe somebody, it's gonna be Harrison Smith, because Harrison Smith's gonna, you know, be more in tune with the calls, because the safeties have to make more, you know, defensive calls and understanding than corners. With that being said, I mean, it certainly is possible that somebody made a mistake and did something that they weren't supposed to, and it wasn't Xavier Rhodes. But I think in this case, just by the fact that it seemed like other teammates were getting upset with him, and that is what fueled his rage, you know, he was probably embarrassed to the point where he was like, you know, I'm just going to, you know, blame everybody else, even though I know it was on me. But, you know, that stuff happens.
Yeah, everybody's got somebody like that at the office, too, right? I mean, you know, and Xavier's also got, and you never want to call a guy, but because I like Xavier a lot. Personally, I know him well. I like him a lot. But he does get hurt early in games a lot. And I don't want to say that's a safety or, you know, setting yourself up for failure, et cetera, but he does seem to get dinged at one of those guys that's off on the sidelines at least once in the first half.
Yeah, that is. And I've noticed that it's happened more in the last year and a half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, you put the dots together. I don't
know. Human, you never bet against human nature, right?
Right.
Yeah. So do you think the Vikings have a really good defense, an average defense? It's a little perplexing right now because, you know, Denver beat them bad the first half, then they shut them down. Right. They've had some marvelous performances this year, and they've had some where you're going, really? What do you see?
Well, you know, I go back to a conversation we had about 6 weeks ago, Mike, when we talked about, you know, the depth and the fact that in the NFL these days, you know, there's so many injuries that the teams with the best depth are the teams that are going to end up being successful or the teams that don't get injured, right? Baltimore has been a team that had a few injuries early, and that's why they started 2-2. And now, with the exception of last week losing their center, they've had an impeccable run of success with guys not getting hurt. They're 10-2. Patriots have the best depth in the NFL. Although, you know, they have certainly problems here and there, they're 10-2 because of their depth. The Vikings have depth at the running back position and at D-line. I would argue that they don't have depth anywhere else, and they've gotten nicked up in other places, and that's starting to show up. You know, offensive line, I still think, you know, we have some issues with Elfline and stuff on the left guard. But
yep.
When I look at the defense, you know, we've had obviously corners go out. We've had safeties go out. We've been nicked up there. You know, Gideon's out for the year on IR. So you got guys playing in a position and guys that are having to step up that aren't starters in the NFL. I mean, they're good enough to be in the NFL, and you know, they're doing a heck of a job, and Zimmer does it, you know, as good as most when it comes to defensive schemes and this and that. But, you know, defensively, we just don't have the depth across the board, and it's starting to catch up to us. And, you know, Seattle's a great team, and Russell Wilson may be the best quarterback in the NFL. So, you know, to give up 37 to them isn't, you know, the worst thing in the world. But, you know, giving up 17 in the first half to Denver, 20 in the first half to Denver, that's alarming because their quarterback, you know, isn't an NFL quarterback in my mind. And their offense, with the exception of Sutton, isn't an NFL offense for the most part. So, you know, I don't think we have an elite defense. I think we have an average defense with a good scheme. And I think we have an above average offense with elite receivers, elite specialists, or, you know, skill position players. Yep. and a quarterback that's playing outstanding.
Okay, so last, were you watching the game? Were you able to hear the, you know, they had Russell Wilson mic'd, and
yep,
they were playing clips? And if you did, I mean, is that what you would expect from a quarterback? Lots of energy, lots of, we can do it one play at a time. Is that the way, is that the conversation piece for a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL? Did that resonate with you?
Well, you know, honestly, I played with so many different quarterbacks. I mean, Rich Gannon coming off an MVP season was my first quarterback I ever had with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the most competitive player I had ever played with. And he was, you know, so detail-oriented and so competitive. You made one mistake, he's in your face and cussing you out and cussing the coaches out for them making a mistake. And,
yep,
you know, so he was super audible, and then there's a guy like Brad Johnson who was like the nicest guy in the world and was positive but didn't say as much, like, you know, yep, might come over and be like, hey, here's what I'm thinking on this. But, you know, Russell Wilson, I think, is, you know, in the Tom Brady category where they're constantly talking, constantly trying to fuel the team up,
yep,
constantly, you know, being you know, and I think to a point Kirk Cousins is a guy that's positive and tries to.
Yeah, but he tries to stay more cerebral about it and not get too caught up in the emotions of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Although before the game, he's a guy that gets pretty hyped. But, yeah, in the game. But, yeah, I thought that was par for the course when it came to, you know, a real good leader like Russell Wilson.
And you could sense in watching that he believes, in probably a good way, he has ownership in that team. It's his team.
Oh, absolutely. There is no doubt, and everybody knows that. And I think you know, Seattle got to the point after they went to the Super Bowl a couple times that, you know, there were a lot of lead dogs in that with Richard Sherman and Bobby Wagner,
yeah,
and Earl Thomas. And I think, you know, when it became Russell's team, like, there was a little saltiness and that there's a, you know, a lot of cooks in the kitchen when it,
yep,
comes to that. And then they didn't win as much, and then it became an issue.
Yep. Last question along those lines, because, you know, he took some heat for, you know, they said, well, Pete plays favorites, and just the one favorite is Russell Wilson, meaning Pete Carroll. Is that accepted in NFL locker rooms if the guy's a superstar, or how is that viewed?
Well, I remember Charlie Baggett, our receiver coach for the Vikings.
Yeah.
The way he would deal with Moss, he said, I treat everybody fairly, but not everybody the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is the way that NFL coaches handle superstars. And in reality, the NFL is a quarterback-driven league. If you have an elite quarterback, you will always have a chance.
That's right, and these coaches aren't dumb.
You have no chance, right?
Yeah, but Rodgers and Wilson can control a game, forget who's on their team. They've done it for – they've turned the roster over, and they keep controlling games, and that tells you kind of all you need to know.
Exactly. Yep, and that Pete Carroll was, you know, he's going to hang his hat on a quarterback, not an elite free safety. Not
That's right. If I'm going down, it ain't going to be because I babied the free safety, right?
Exactly.
Yep. Ryan, great stuff as always.
Hey, Mike, anytime.
Appreciate it very much. Ryan Hogue with some insights into the NFL and the Minnesota Vikings.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.